Welcome to the Closing Market Report for October the 18th, 2006. I'm Todd Gleason. In a few moments, we'll talk about the commodity markets with Paul Cooley of ADM Investor Services in Oakland, Illinois. And later in the half hour, we'll discuss the cash grain market with Kay Whitlock of Terre Haute Grain. She's out of Terre Haute, Indiana. Dave Dickey will be along in a moment with all the day's agricultural news, and I'll tell you more about the University of Illinois plans to develop a fourth campus to deliver online degree programming and how extension might be involved. And then we'll talk with Drew Lerner of World Weather Incorporated out of Kansas City. That'll happen just after the bottom of the hour. It all happens on this Wednesday edition of AM 580's Closing Market Report.
You've heard that we want to shorten our fall on-air fund drive.
You may have received a letter from me asking you to help us build a member match fund.
Your action before October 19th will help us enroll more new members and make our on-air fund drives more efficient. Here's how.
Make a contribution by mailing a check to Friends of WILL, Post Office Box 3429, Champaign, 61826.
Or give online at willpledge.org.
You can make WILL less dependent on fund drives. Thank you.
The Carle Center for Rural Health and Farm Safety, a division of Carle Foundation Hospital, is proud to underwrite agricultural programming at WILL. The center helps residents of rural communities with education and training in farm safety. For more information, call 217-383-4606.
Taking a look now at what happened at the Chicago Board of Trade and the Mercantile Exchange on this Wednesday afternoon. Futures in the wheat pit finished 18.5 cents lower at 512.5 of the December contract. The March futures at $5.19, off 18.5 as well. December corn futures 1.5 cents lower at 315.5. The March at 325.25, down 4 cents. And the May futures off 4.75 at 331. July 335.5, down 3.5 cents for the corn. November soybeans up 4 cents, 604.5 the settlement price. January futures at 618, up 3.5 of the March at 626, up 2.25. November's at 656.25, and they were up 3/4 for the day. December bean meal futures at 179.60, down 90 cents. December bean oil for the day finished at 26 higher, 25.94, the settlement price there. Over at the Mercantile Exchange, 107.10, up 35 for the October feeder cattle. October live cattle at $88.57.5, up 65, and December futures at 52.5 higher, 87.85, the settlement price there for the Deese live cattle. Lean hogs, December contract at 59.25, were down 47.5 points for the day. Taking a look at the outside markets, crude oil November contract $57.60, down $1.33 at this hour. The CRB index at 304.40, that's down 3.76. The dollar at 86.91, down 0.04. And the Dow Jones Industrial Average dropping below $12,000 after peaking above that earlier today, 11,979 at 29 points higher for the afternoon.
Todd Gleason's services are made available to WILL by University of Illinois Extension.
Joining us now to take a look at what happened at the Board of Trade and the Mercantile Exchange is Paul Cooley of ADM Investor Services in Oakland, Illinois. Good afternoon to you, Paul.
Good afternoon, Todd. A overcast, kind of dull day here in Oakland, Illinois.
Yeah, a little overcast, a little dull. The corn farmers back out shucking yet?
Yes, they're starting to push here in Oakland. There's a few parts of mud on the back of the corn wagons as they come in, so they had to root and toot getting it out of the field. But they're rolling, and they're nervous about it because of some of the tops coming out of the corn, and it's their feeling. Let's get it done.
Yeah, given that, they've got a pretty good price rally and have had one for a while. Cash price is over $3 earlier in the week. What does Paul Cooley say this week about the corn? On Commodity Week, you said, hang on until we get that crop production report and stocks figures in from USDA. You were right. How about today?
Well, Todd, you have a way of pleasing me here at this early hour in the session. But anyway, Joe Kennedy always said a fool always holds out for the last dollar. But a couple of things, that this is a dynamic market, and we do understand that there was a lot of spreading today in the major pits, so selling wheat, buying beans, selling corn. And the one that's really got everyone in a great deal of puzzle is, of course, the wheat market. They're adding more delivery locations. There's a feeling that wheat, particularly soft red winter wheat, is a little pricey in the world market and also pricey in the U.S. market. And by, you know, making more delivery points, or at least application for more delivery points, there'll probably be more deliveries on the December contract. Back to your original question on corn, you know, it's my opinion that the government, you know, went in the right direction. And the one thing that's scary here is the one large think tank group from Memphis indicated, what if we do have a smaller crop like the historic trends in that occur, you know, a smaller crop gets smaller, and if we would see a 1 to 2 bushel yield drop, it would be part of the overall price pattern of substantially higher flat prices in the months to come. The other factor here is that, you know, it is getting late in the season, cooler temperatures, and I think, you know, our meteorologists are going to get a workout here over the next 10 days to 2 weeks about what if. And the one meteorologist that I talked to used the word snow in the upper Midwest and maybe even some heavy snow and definitely cooler temperatures. So, you know, that's a wish area. And it does look like we do have a lot of corn yet to harvest. So corn is acting good. It's, you know, a little more on the counter-seasonal nature than we normally see, but it's been a very dynamic market and one that, you know, I'll remember for a long time.
Are you a willing cash seller on unpriced crop that you're rolling across the scale?
Well, you know, I'm really not. And the reason I think, you know, I think we have to not only buy, you know, substantially amount of corn acres for next year, I think that's going to be a tough job to buy 5 million acres of corn. I think that the demand, both domestic in ethanol and exports and feed usage, is also going to be very helpful for the case in corn. And with even 5 million acres of corn, there's no room for error from weather or other unusual demand features that could come into the marketplace. So I think it's a very interesting market, and you know, I think it's going to be a long time before we get this vote tabulated.
What'd you make of the Dow going over 12,000 this
morning? Isn't that wonderful? And, you know, that's another factor that makes me a little friendly. It's whatever's good for the farmers, good for Wall Street. And, you know, Wall Street's acting, you know, tremendously well. You know, probably the thing that'd scare me a little bit is if crude oil go to $50 a barrel, that might hurt corn prices just a little bit.
Indeed it might. Hey, and one other thing, I don't know whether you want to comment on this or not, the Mercantile Exchange purchasing the Board of Trade?
You know, isn't that historic? And, you know, I tell you what, there's nothing that gives a farm boy a bigger thrill than to look down Jackson and LaSalle Street and see the Board of Trade. And I tell you what, it's a wonderful institution, and of course it's a major financial market decision, and you know, I guess it's progress, and we have to tip our hat to two fine organizations.
You know, the good news, I suppose, if you're on the historic and side of things, is that LaSalle Street will be the home, I think, of both, because
that's
the building that's owned. So the Board of Trade will stay right put, and the Mercantile Exchange will join them there. Open outcry and electronic trade probably will battle it out more thoroughly than has been in the past. Because
and they have, you know, it's a kind of a prestigious address, and of course, you know, I can remember when the fourth floor, you know, the trading floor on the grain floor, you know, faced, you know, LaSalle Street, and it was quite a sight to be on the trading floor and look down LaSalle Street.
If you have not made a trip to Chicago and been on the south end of LaSalle Street and been into the Board of Trade to go in and see them trade during trading hours in the day, that's the thing you ought to do. Take your kids up, especially if you're in the ag world. I think it's worthwhile to go up and see actually how the price of corn, wheat, beans, gold, silver, all those kinds of things are set right there at the Chicago Board of Trade. And you can go in. They do have a place for you to go up and look down on those trading pits, and it is a pretty amazing sight indeed. Okay, let's talk a little bit about soybeans. What do we do with those?
You know, our general opinion is that, wow, you know, our findings are that the later beans, particularly north of here, and we're even getting that word out of Iowa as well, is that the yield just kind of dipped a little bit. And, of course, the news programs in the morning are full of the rust issue in southern Illinois and Missouri. I guess what we have to say is that the crush margins are good. We still have a crop to put to bed. I think yesterday we indicated that we had approximately 69% of the bean crop put away. And, you know, when I look at the weather, Todd, I bet we don't make much progress this coming week. So, you know, that's probably one factor that is encouraging soybean rally. And beans are hard to buy from the farmer, and I don't think I'd sell them here at $6 in the third place. You know, so that's, you know, the bottom line. Soybean oil has been the real dynamic push there. And biodiesel, soy diesel, not only in the United States, but the Pacific Rim and Europe are some of the major factors that are fueling that big fire, plus the smaller bean acreage here in the U.S. and in Brazil for next year.
There's two I won't sell for the 06-07 marketing year, the current crop for corn, for soybeans. The wheat crop is being, for that marketing year, being put in the ground now, and it's at historic highs. What do you think? Are you a seller there of the new
wheat
crop? Yeah.
Yeah, you know, that's one I'm not going to argue about, because we do get this feeling that this tremendous wheat acreage, it's not, when it's all said and done, the smoke clears, I don't think it's a record acreage that's going to go in the ground on wheat, but it's a big one. And, you know, in southern Illinois, we're hearing the word wheat or corn stalks being disked and wheat being planted in corn stalks and also in bean stubble. And, you know, the answer is when it's in corn stalks, it probably means less beans. When it's planted in beans, it probably means less corn in southern Illinois. But I tell you what, the wheat plantings are very heavy in central and north central Illinois, and that's really unusual, and it's a big market factor that it's hard to explain, except there's no tech fees in wheat, and I think that's one additional factor, plus there's a rotation issue there, too.
We probably better check in on the Mercantile Exchange, where we still have roughly $60 hogs, $105, $107 cattle on the feeder side, and close to $90 for the live cattle. What do you think?
Well, in the hogs, cash hogs are called lower for tomorrow. The other factor here is that, you know, there is a ton of hogs being processed. The cattle market's struggling here at these price levels. There's a cattle on feed report at the end of the week, and the other thing I have to reflect on is I never thought they'd be trading cattle and corn on the same trading floor, but I understand that is a thing that will happen.
We appreciate you being with us today.
Have a profitable day, Todd.
As always. Thanks much, Paul. Paul Cooley is with ADM Investor Services out of Oakland, Illinois.
The closing market report is made possible by AgriGold Hybrids, funding agricultural programming on AM 580 as an additional service to the many AgriGold customers in the AM 580 listening area. AgriGold, the corn specialists, on the web at agrigold.com.
Taking a look at the forecast from our own Mike Solis, it says tonight in the two-state region, cloudy skies, widespread showers, some isolated thunderstorms. Those will most likely be in the south. Lows will range from 30 in northwestern Illinois to 55 in the far south. Tomorrow, Mike says, in north and west central Illinois, partly to mostly cloudy, turning cooler in central Illinois and northern Indiana, mostly cloudy, scattered showers mainly early in the day. Elsewhere, mostly cloudy, showers, a few thunderstorms. Highs tomorrow from 50 in the north to 58 in southern Indiana. Dave Dickey's here now to take a complete look at today's agricultural news right here on the Closing Market Report.
In agricultural news, the Chicago Mercantile Exchange is buying the Chicago Board of Trade for $8 billion in cash and stock. The combined company will be called CME Group Incorporated. If the deal is approved, the two companies will move to a single trading location at the Chicago Board of Trade. The deal is pending approval by regulators, shareholders of both companies, and Chicago Board of Trade members. USDA officials say they are redoubling their efforts to register farms and ranchers that own livestock. USDA Undersecretary for Marketing and Regulatory Programs Bruce Knight says there's resistance and grassroots opposition to registration. USDA says registering more farms may require new cooperative agreements to get farms, ranchers, confinement operations, and feedlots identified. Only about 320,000 premises have been registered out of an estimate of 1.4 to 2.1 million properties with some type of livestock operation. Iowa Senator Chuck Grassley says unless the president's fast trade authority is extended beyond next July, it's unlikely the Doha round of world trade talks can be revived.
Why sit down and negotiate with the United States if, after an agreement signed, it can come before Congress and it could be amended to death? The United States is not going to be seen as a credible negotiator, because negotiators have to have the ability to reach an agreement. Once an agreement's reached, you assume it's not going to be changed. That's the situation that the WTO's in, with the United States being a major player and the president not having the authority to negotiate.
Grassley says right now there's not a lot of support in Congress to revive fast-track authority.
With close votes on CAFTA and even 35 votes against Oman recently, and even closer votes in the House of Representatives, I think it's even much more difficult to get the authority to negotiate approved than it is to get the individual agreements approved.
U.S. Trade Promotion Authority forces Congress to vote up or down on trade deals without amendments. A study prepared by the Canadian Canola Growers Association says that if canola prices increase in response to increased demand, it could make canola less attractive as an energy crop from biodiesel. U.S. canola growers are hoping to replicate the success of corn producers and ethanol. Increased interest in canola as a heart-healthy food choice could boost production and prices. And the Food and Drug Administration could approve milk and meat for human consumption from cloned animals by the end of the year. FDA's chief of veterinary medicine says food from cloned animals is safe. And that's a look at today's agricultural news.
Thanks, Dave. Dave Dickey, of course, your director of agricultural programming here at the WILO radio stations. I'm University of Illinois Extension's Todd Gleason, the host of the Closing Market Report and Commodity Week, reminding you to visit our website at WILLAG.org. Well, up next, Extension will play a lead role in the University of Illinois move to bring its world-class educational system online. The president of the University of Illinois came to Decatur to speak directly with the people he calls the gateway to the land-grant institution. He told the crowd of nearly 650 Extension professionals, nothing could be more important than the outreach programming they already do in the farm fields, the classrooms, suburban homes, and on the inner-city playgrounds of the state. And then he asked the group to help the university meet an educational challenge. The campus has announced an initiative, says White, to make it possible to get a degree from the U of I online.
The reason I mention it is that we're developing the global campus. I believe it's going to happen. I think that Extension will be the natural partner to hook up people who want and need a quality college education in a highly affordable and accessible way with the global campus. It will be substantially the highest quality form of online education, but also with an in-person component. It will be what I call a rich mix form of education. And I would just ask you to keep your antenna up for the global campus, because here we have hundreds of people in touch every day with the people of the state of Illinois who want and need a college education, would be unbelievably proud to earn a U of I degree, and I think we're on the edge of providing that opportunity, and I will look forward to your help in delivering it to the people who need it.
While there is not yet an outlined role for University of Illinois Extension, it is clear the outreach arm of the university may be tapped to deliver in-person programming to go along with the academic reach of the central campuses. More than a million people in the state of Illinois already have contact with U of I Extension professionals. The Global Campus, sometimes referred to as the Fourth Campus, supplementing Urbana-Champaign, Chicago, and Springfield, the Global Campus will bring University of Illinois degrees online, enrolling the first students in January 2008. The estimated price tag is between $15 and $30 million over the next 3 years. For University of Illinois Extension, I'm Todd Gleason.
Today's broadcast is made possible with support from First Midwest Bank, serving the banking needs of Illinois' agricultural community with locations in Champaign, Danville, Galesburg, Morris, and McHenry. More information is available from Chip Jorstad in Morris at 815-941-3706. First Midwest Bank, member FDIC, and equal housing lender.
Joining us now to take our Wednesday afternoon look at the cash grain market is Kay Whitlock of Terre Haute Grain out of Terre Haute, Indiana. Good afternoon to you, Kay.
Good afternoon to you, Todd.
I took a look at the average Central Illinois cash price for yesterday, and it was $3, according to the FarmDoc website. How about there in your part of Indiana?
We were $3 flat price yesterday, too, after the close. Of course, we took some out of it today as well, but this market is just unprecedented, something we may never, ever see again. And I know you're always interested in train values. And the end user, I think, is very, very concerned. There's so much corn going into bins. There's not a lot in the pipeline. And even though the nearby train values are just getting a little bit better, the far-out months are really getting better. That's where the strength lies. So I think these end users are concerned about a supply next spring and summer.
Oh, and tell me more about that. So they're booking trains at this point, and they're paying pretty well for them? How far out?
Clear out through July. The basis has gotten probably a nickel better than it was, you know, when you and I talked last week. So,
Yeah,
the end users are getting a little nervous because these guys are really sticking this stuff away. And of course, we're behind here. I think it's some place where the corn's about out of the field, they've stuck it away. But here, we've just hardly made a dent, Todd. We're very far behind.
And so are your producers happy or not? They're happy with the $3 cash price. The question is, you said they're sticking it away. Are they actually not selling it?
No, believe it or not, they are. I mean, you know, you can't beat $3 corn. It's a profit. And I bought probably over 300,000 corn on Monday alone. So we've had some really good buying days. They are stepping into this market. They're just all a little disgruntled because they all forward contracted too soon, but who knew this was going to happen? Had a lot of people ask about buying contracts back, although none have done it because it's pretty expensive, but it's been very active around this elevator. There's no doubt about that.
And I take it you're in favor of a $3 cash price for sales of corn.
You can't go wrong because, I mean, the margins in ethanol have been reduced with crude oil going down. It's down almost $1.50 a barrel again today. That could change the whole concept of thing into next year. You could see corn $2.50 to $4. I still say $3 corn needs to be sold.
And your bids for the day.
All right, our cash corn today is $2.95. Cash beans are $5.70. Next year's wheat is $3.86.
Okay, we appreciate you being with us.
Thank you.
Kay Whitlock joins us here on the Closing Mark Report each and every Wednesday afternoon. We thank her for that, and we do appreciate all the work she does for the radio station right here in Urbana-Champaign at WILL. In just about 2 minutes, we'll talk with Drew Lerner of World Weather Incorporated about the agricultural forecast across the globe. Your regional newscast comes up next.
With this look at AM 580 News, I'm Jim Meadows. An attorney representing plaintiffs in the Champaign School District's consent decree says she hopes she'll find out at tomorrow's hearing that Unit 4 officials have picked up the pace of efforts to meet that court order by 2009. Carol Ashley says progress has been very slow during the first 4 years of the consent decree, and in some areas like student discipline and attendance, things have actually gotten worse. The hearing before federal judge Joe Billy McDade is scheduled for tomorrow at the University of Illinois Law School in Champaign. A judge has postponed next month's trial of a Bloomington police officer charged with raping four women, citing a defense attorney scheduling conflict with another high-profile trial. No new trial date is set for Sergeant Jeff Pilo, who's accused in a 3-year string of serial rapes dating to 2002. But McLean County Judge Ronald Dozier today set a December 15th hearing to discuss when Pelo's case can go to a jury. Defense attorney Steve Skelton is also defending Amanda Hamm, whose murder trial in connection with the drowning of her three children in Clinton Lake begins Monday in December, or rather Monday in Decatur. The Chicago Tribune reports that Governor Blagojevich's inspector general has recommended a state employee be fired for allegedly raising campaign money for the governor while on the job. The Tribune says it's obtained a confidential report on a state employee named Khalil Shalabi. In it, the executive inspector general's office claims Shalabi used his computer at work to arrange a fundraising dinner for Blagojevich's re-election campaign. The governor's office says it's moving to fire Shalabi. Indiana state officials say they're offering help to more families paying their heating bills this winter. Natural gas prices are expected to be lower this winter, but Governor Mitch Daniels says the state is better prepared to offer heating assistance. The program helped nearly 159,000 residents last winter. An attorney for the ACLU of Indiana is asking a federal appeals panel in Chicago to overturn Indiana's new law requiring voters to show a government-issued photo ID before casting a ballot. One of the judges says not to expect a ruling before the November 7th election. I'm Jim Meadows, AM 580 News.
You're listening to the Closing Market Report. I'm Todd Gleason. Joining us now for our look at the agricultural weather is Drew Lerner, the senior agricultural meteorologist at World Weather Incorporated in Kansas City. Good afternoon to you, Drew.
Good afternoon, Todd.
Tell me about the global weather forecast for agriculture. It's been awfully dry in Australia. Will it stay that way?
It does look like it's going to stay that way with one small little bump in the road, which comes tomorrow and on Friday. We're probably going to experience a little bit of rain in the southeast corner of the country. This is wheat and barley area. It is in New South Wales and Victoria, as well as eastern portions of South Australia. This area has been quite dry for a while. There's been some shower activity, but nothing quite as great as what we're going to see. Amounts will run up to a half inch. That doesn't sound like a lot, but for them, for what they've been seeing here recently, that is a lot. We may see some local three-quarter inch amounts, and our coverage will be fairly high, probably as high as we've seen it at any point in the last several weeks, maybe running around 60-65%. Again, all this sounds pretty wimpy, and it is. The bottom line is that there should not be enough rain falling from the sky here in the next few days to make any kind of a difference in production potentials, and that's the most important thing. We will see crop stress eased in that corner of the world, but it's only going to be temporary. There is no follow-up precipitation outside of a few random showers. So temporary improvement, perhaps, but certainly nothing that's going to change that bottom line.
USDA, of course, calling the harvest there at about 11 million metric tons. There are ideas that it may fall as low as 8 million metric tons, and it's been well above 20 million metric tons in recent years. Let's move to other production areas of the world. Better talk a little bit about Argentina, maybe, and dryness there.
Yes, Argentina went through a period where it was its seasonal rains were a little bit slow in starting. Then we got two good-sized rain events to take place in the past two or three weeks, and it's really moistened up the soil in most of the country. But one of the provinces, actually two of provinces that have been missed, include Santiago del Estero and portions of Cordoba. These are both important coarse grain and oilseed production areas. They do produce soybeans in both of these provinces, as well as some sunseed. And peanuts are produced in Cordoba. Anyway, these two provinces have not seen enough rainfall to carry them for very much longer. And the outlook for the next 10 days is for below average precipitation in these areas, and temperatures will likely obtain a warmer than usual bias starting next week. So crop stress is likely to continue there. This is the planting season in that region, and the dryness will likely slow down the field process, field working process. But the plants that were, or the seeds that were planted earlier here this month are probably already germinating. We will see a little bit of stress to those early emergence plants out there.
Thanks much, Drew.
All right. Have a good day.
Drew Lerner is the senior agricultural meteorologist at World Weather Incorporated in Kansas City. And that is today's Closing Market Report. Please join us tomorrow morning at 8:49 for our first look at the markets. And don't forget to visit our website at WILLAG.org. I'm Todd Gleason.
Today's broadcast is made possible with support from these business partners: Daly Farms Incorporated, Arthur; First National Bank and Trust Company, Clinton; and GCOM Incorporated, Savoy. These business partners join the friends of WILL in making great programs possible.
Thank you.
Why is your support so important? Because this station relies on listeners for nearly one out of every $2 it spends to bring you programs. Since detailed analysis and objective reporting is important to you, please renew your WILL membership now. Mail your check today or give online at willpledge.org. Thank you.